Good to see you all. Kind of a tough act to follow. I would like to sing a song. I just can't sing. Well, anyhow, it's good. It goes by fast. It's another year. I want to thank Steve and Mary for putting me up at the Steve and Mary Motel. I want to thank Clary, a.k.a. Patel, for being the hostess of the hotel there. There's a lot of different stuff going on there. She had everything formatted for us, but is interested. And, of course, the members of this fellowship that worked hard and diligent for the conference to be held. I know it's a lot of work. I know it takes a lot to do such things, and I'm grateful and thankful to all that helped. Speaking of conferences, Steve mentioned it. Yeah, we're going to have a conference, planning on it. It's always the first weekend. Was I too low? Okay. It's always the first weekend after Memorial Day, which I was checking. It looks like it'll be June 5th, 6th, and 7th. So make plans to come down to Baton Rouge and be a part of our conference. I know we're out a little ways from it right now, but it'll close quickly. Time is moving on, and so we'll have that there. And, the preaching is good, okay? The food is interesting. So you can enjoy good preaching and interesting food. So we'd love to have you come down and be a part of it. So it's good to see you all. Glad you're here. I guess when I walked up this morning and got here, I mean, I just put on a coat and tie to me, but I got probably 50 comments about how I was going to do a funeral or something. I guess it's true because I've bored a lot of people to death. So this morning will be no different. I'm going to bore you to death. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, wow, I got till 12. It's 10 after 10. Interesting. No, actually, we're in the NFL season, and once again, I announced my message as an NFL message, not for long. So we'll wrap this thing up. I don't want to stand between you and lunch because then I start looking like lunch, and that's not good for all of us. I taste a little earthy, if you know what I mean. So, but anyhow, once again, I'm glad to be here. Coming out of the Catholic religion, and I mean coming out raised up in it, and getting disgruntled with it in my teens, stepped out of it. But I am a very fortunate and blessed individual because when I got back into a church, it turned out being the church that Obit was pastoring. So I went into a church where the King James Bible was utilized and where the gospel was preached and where the Word of God is rightly divided. So I don't take that for granted. I know many of you probably came out of a system where there's confusion, doctrinal crisscrossing, things of that nature. We probably have some in here. You're saved, but you're exposed to some teaching that's going on that's not sound teaching. I know for a fact, I don't guess, I don't think, I know for a fact that we're to follow the Apostle Paul. We're to follow his doctrine. We're to follow his teaching. Been grounded on that. Very convinced and convicted about that. Preach on it and teach on it. So with that said, turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 20, by the way. Facebook is a medium that always thought it was for, hey, how you doing today? What's going on? The devil gets involved in Facebook. And he's working right now on doctrinal issues. And many of you are reading it and being persuaded in some of those things. I hope that what I can present to you today helps clear up a little bit of those things that are confusing that are out there today. Don't know if I can do it, but I hope. So, with that said, let's look in Numbers chapter 20. We're not going to break this down for every storyline here. But in Numbers 20, verse 7, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also." We're just going to hold up there because it gives us some understanding in the direction that we're going to go in the message today. There's a couple things I want to point out before we move on in this given storyline here. First of all, there's a note there to be noted in verse 10. Moses had a high opinion of his people in that he says, "Hear now, ye rebels." Now, I want you to understand something. Rebels in this given situation is not a compliment. It seems to be a compliment today to be a rebel to a system, a rebel to the government, and all this other kind of stuff. Rebels here is not a compliment. Rebel is short for rebellious or rebellion. Well, who are they rebels to? God Almighty. So, consequently, Moses goes into this with an attitude. Not a good one. So he's told by the Lord to speak to the rock, and he'll give forth his water. You ever notice the rock is a his? But Moses didn't. What did Moses do? He smote it twice. Now, as we go forward, just maintain the thoughts there of the rock that existed there back during the days of Moses. With that said, turn to 1 Corinthians. Over in 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 3. You get up here last of all, and it's kind of like, you know, you're late for dinner and you get the scraps. Everything's been preached on, so I'm just getting scraps. So enjoy the scraps, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3, 9, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So, use the board here just a second. I don't do very good writing my name, let alone any kind of graphics here, so excuse me on that. That's the best I can do. We'll just let that represent foundation. Paul said, "For I have laid the foundation." You know, there's something interesting in the Psalms. Now, we're going to go through a number of scriptures, so don't get bored out here. We're going to go through a number of scriptures to lay this stuff out. Go to Psalm and turn to Psalm 11. We'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians periodically. If you need to tab it, then do so. But in Psalm 11, David writes something here that's pretty interesting. Paul said once again, I have laid the foundation. Now in Psalm 11, David says, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a good question. Paul said, I laid the foundation. What we're seeing here is that there's foundation laid for mankind. I laid the foundation. David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Just need one verse here. In Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. It's a sure foundation. Now, this verse that we just read is future yet where we're at in 2014. This is prophecy. So I see a foundation that runs through this Bible. And to solidify that, we're going to look at a verse that reflects back to Numbers where we started. Turn to 1 Corinthians again. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We'll start in verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, then back in Numbers, I see a rock. Who was that rock? Paul tells you. You don't have to guess. It was Christ. We see a foundation that will be laid future, according to Isaiah. I know who that foundation consists of. It consists of this rock. It's the stone. It's Jesus Christ. There's a foundation that runs through time for mankind, and that foundation is a rock, that foundation is a sure foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, since you're in 1 Corinthians, look back in chapter 3 where we started. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, Paul's given something that's not shocking. Paul is just echoing that which has gone on and will always go on, that there is a foundation out there, always has been and always will be for mankind. That foundation always has been and always will be Jesus Christ. But there's something funny about all this. Not ha-ha funny, strange funny, in that Paul said, I laid the foundation. Like Dan was talking about, notice the I. I laid the foundation. Well, that excludes some folks. But yet there's foundations there. There's foundations through your Bible. To prove that, look in Romans chapter 15. Look what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 15 of Romans. In Romans 15, verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. So Christ was already being named by some others, right? Lest I should build upon another man's what? Well, were there men preaching Christ before Paul? Absolutely. Were they laying a foundation? Absolutely. Why? Because there's one foundation for all of mankind. That foundation's a rock. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Always has been and always will be. It is ironic that Paul would say, I laid the foundation. I laid the foundation. Boy, that's standing. You know why he had an issue with Peter, James, and John? You go around those guys and Paul talks about, I laid the foundation. They had to learn a thing or two from Paul in his apostleship and what was given unto him. And so Paul said, I laid the foundation. Now what we're dealing with today in our time, and it's nothing new, it's existed before us. I wasn't alive before us, but I know it was there. We're dealing with men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul talked to the Corinthians and told them that we're not as many which what? Corrupt the Word of God. And that's what you have going on today. It's not that they don't talk about Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't preach the gospel. I like Obed's opening message about, oh, they use Scripture. They apply Scripture. It's in the Bible. But is it scriptural in the Bible? Is it applicable in the Bible? You got to watch how they do this. They work shell games with you, and if you're not learned and grounded in the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, you're going to be deceived. Paul addressed the fact that there are those that have come unto you preaching another Jesus. Is there another Jesus being preached? Absolutely. So if you take the foundation that Paul laid, which is Jesus Christ, somebody can come along and take that same Jesus Christ and corrupt your foundation. Watch the game. Turn to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Are we all over the world right now, Billy? Once again, to our people in Uzbekistan, hello. I know they're tuned in the masses over there watching, right? Welcome to me. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Shell game, watch. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, we'll go along this foundation, and we're going to draw a parameter here, and I don't know where it's going to go from here, but we'll just kind of use this. I know those of you in the back are having trouble seeing this, so you should have sat up front. Church, it appears there. In Ephesians, we just read it. Also appears in Colossians. We won't read it, but he talks about the preeminence and the head to the church. Same type verbiage as in Ephesians we just read. So we got a church there. Isn't that interesting? Now watch the shell game. Turn to Matthew. Look in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, look in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Pretty good question, right? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, his disciples there, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Christ says, who do you say that I am? Peter jumps right in. What does he say? That thou art, verse 16, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Christ's response to what he answered there follows with verse 17. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now when you read that, with the whole Acts chapter 2 thing, and the Holy Ghost falling on these men, and them being endued with this power, people conclude that Peter is standing there, and when he's asked, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the Holy Ghost fell on Peter, and he spoke those words, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou. Well, it didn't happen that way at all. Peter had been with Jesus Christ. Peter witnessed the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. So consequently, when he gave the answer, it was based upon the Father revealing who Jesus Christ is through Jesus Christ. You understand? He didn't just get this power and speak it like he's endued with power in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost fell and he's speaking to the men of Israel. He witnessed it being revealed through Jesus Christ. Now he says something there, Christ did, in verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, we have the ministry of Christ here to his death. Guess what word shows up during the ministry of Christ? Church. Shell game. Paul talks about a church. The Lord talked about a church. Wow. Then we got something to connect here. You know what else showed up? A rock. Upon this rock. Well, there's nothing new about that. Christ knew who the rock was. Who was the rock? Don't say Peter, please. You're going to embarrass yourself. Peter. It was Christ. We saw that in Numbers. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That rock throughout time is the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what they do. They see church in Paul's writings. They see church being mentioned by Christ. So all of a sudden, you start getting their teaching intermingled. One with the other. And they take you to this little butte that confuses you even further. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Shell game. Billy, the title of my message is Shell Game. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, I'm sorry, Vince. Bye. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. So they take you there, and they make the connection. Verse 20, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So they run this thing all the way back to the prophets and the apostles, the foundation there. And Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and they make no distinction about it. Why? Well, you got a church according to Paul, you got a church according to Christ. They're just words that are overlapping. This thing's unmistakable. Paul had nothing new to deliver to you. Shell game. Prophets, apostles, foundation. The foundation has always been there. That foundation has always been a rock. That foundation has always been Jesus Christ. But when you get to Paul's writings, look specifically what he says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. By the way, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, you're God's husband, you. For we are laborers together with God, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. That ought to trigger something right there. He's a laborer based upon the grace of God that was given to him. It's a different grace than what Peter and the apostles got. Which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I laid the foundation. There's a dispensation today. It's a dispensation of the grace of God. There's a dispensation of the gospel. And there's a foundational truth to that gospel. That if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, you're placed on this foundation that Paul laid. You understand? And from that point on, you're to build. You're to build. We're laborers also. We labor in it. But Paul said something interesting. He said, take heed. Take heed. I see people going through the Bible without any regard to rightly dividing. Just trample this thing under. They're not taking heed. Take heed how you build upon it. If you're going to build, you better have the blueprints. Paul said, I am a master builder. What is a master builder? Huh? Architect. Architect. He had the blueprints. Before you build a building, what do you lay down? You lay down a foundation. I can about assure you, the foundation that this building is on is probably not the same foundation that the Twin Towers were on. You build the foundation that is sufficient for the building and the weight that's going to be placed upon it. Paul said, I laid the foundation. Paul is the master builder. He is the architect. Well, I can tell you, in the dispensation of the grace of God, you are given the blueprints on how to build the building. It's in Romans through Philemon. It's not outside of that. If I want to know about a church and how to build that church and how to work within that church, I don't go to Matthew 16. Somebody sees the church back in Matthew 16, they go, oh, well, the body of Christ began back here. You know what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24? He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. Do you have to endure to the end? Take heed. Take heed. Be careful. Because when you're on this foundation and we go out, you know what our next destination is? You know where we're headed? Come on, somebody knows. Judgment seat of Christ. And your rewards are going to be based upon how you built on the foundation according to Paul. Take heed. You know, it kind of reminds me of the commercial. It's done its circulation. I haven't seen it in a while, but you may recall, I think it was a Geico commercial, not sure. So it wasn't that impressive. And I enjoyed the commercial. But it's a setting, and you, once I start explaining it, you're going to recall it. Of course, you spiritual people who never watch television, you're out of the loop. It's a setting where there's this older man that's standing upon like a dune in the desert setting with palm trees around him. And he's got an apprentice, young guy, behind him with a tubular scroll holder, so to speak, I guess. A better word somewhere on there, not here. And so he's standing there looking, and out over the plain, the workers are out there. He pulls out a scroll, a blueprint, and he unrolls it. The camera goes behind him for the scene, and he's looking out there. He can see the construction, and he can see the blueprint, and they're out there constructing the buildings and their pyramids. And the blueprint shows the buildings to be typical buildings, rectangular, tall, multi-story buildings. And he's looking at it, and he goes, uh-oh. They didn't quite build to the specifics of the blueprint, didn't they? I wonder how many people that's going to go into the rapture. They're saved, but they labored. They didn't take heed that when they get up there, they're going to go, uh-oh. Don't have an uh-oh moment. Take heed how you build upon it. This foundation was laid specifically by Paul. It's not that the word foundation is something new that Paul used. It's not that, by the way, cornerstone, I looked it up. Let me read it. It's the first stone that's set in masonry. It is important because all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. That cornerstone is very important. If it's not squared upright, if it's not placed right, from that point on, the building's going to be off. Folks, you have people that are not preaching the correct cornerstone today. And the building that they're building is not going to be correct. It won't work out. It won't work out at the end of the day. You can't fit it together. You've got to keep Paul's ministry segregated from the rest of the ministries. You've got to pull him out, consider what he says, then the Lord will give you understanding in all things. You don't jump outside the bounds of the writings of the Apostle Paul, get doctrine, and drag them into the church and think you're doing the people or God a favor. You're going to have a uh-oh moment. It's going to happen. God led Paul, according to the grace that was given unto him, to lay this foundation. And when you consider the fact that Paul was chief among sinners, that Paul was a blasphemer of the Holy Ghost, he had no foundation before him that he could have gotten upon to be saved. There was not a foundation for him. So for the foundation that he left and laid down was sufficient for him, and it's sufficient for everybody today. Folks, we're a bunch of vile, no good, rotten sinners. But the foundation of God can hold you by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? It's there. This stuff of losing your salvation, impossible. God has given you the Spirit, and He sealed you unto the day of redemption. A huge difference from, if you endure to the end, the same shall be saved. They're not even in the same ballpark. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you give ears to. If they corrupt this foundation, your teaching is going to be corrupted. It doesn't straighten out easy either. Look over in 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. I done forgot when I started now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The writing here, we're not going to go through it and have time to explain the whole scenario real quick. It's basically a couple of guys that are real advanced in rightly dividing that have come in and corrupted the believers. And he's addressing that. They were saying that the resurrection has passed already and overthrow the faith of some. Well, folks, that's not true with the foundation for us today. When the Lord comes and takes us out, everybody on that foundation is gone. We're heading out of here. So Paul says in chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Can I get an amen? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The times I have sat next to an individual from our church on their deathbed, I use these passages of Scripture. The Lord knoweth them that are His. You can go in comfort being saved. You can go with the peace of God as you finish out your days. But flesh is flesh. It's a survival instinct. It doesn't want to go. So to reinforce the spirit, this verse is beautiful. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, he says, the foundation of God standeth sure. That word sure is steadfast, firm, hard, unmovable. That's the foundation you're upon when you trust Christ. I found something else out. I looked ventured out of my comfort zone and looked it up in the Greek. The Greek word they had for sure was stereos. What English word do you think we get from that? Stereo. I don't know much about electronics, and you're going to notice that in just a minute. But back in my day, oh, I hate saying that because now I got a lot of days back in there. Back in the day, I remember the family had a car. Pretty much back in the day, all you had was AM radio. Woo! And you had that one speaker in the dashboard. Crackled. Clarity was horrible. Pass a power line, it's gone. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it would come out to you in a monotone fashion. One direction. Then technology starts going. And they came out with stereo. Stereo. What did they do? They took the channels of sound and they split it. So now when you listen to your music, the music envelops you. It surrounds you. It's in stereo. Sure. Stereos. It fills up all around you. But what are we talking about? Music? Sound? Or what? Foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure. You know what Paul's saying? That once you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you not only have a firm foundation, a steadfast foundation, you have a foundation that no matter which direction you go in your life, it is all around you. You can't venture off the foundation that Paul laid. Oh, y'all believe in that once saved, always saved stuff? Yeah, because we got a foundation. It's not my fault you don't have a foundation. You want to walk like Peter on the water? Well, you just sink yourself. We got a foundation, folks. It's the one that Paul laid, and it's a sure foundation. We all have a body of flesh. We're all still sinners by nature. You want some comfort? Know that when you trust in Jesus Christ and you carry this vile flesh around the rest of your life, you still got a foundation with God. And guess what? You venture off, you never read your Bible again, you never go to church or a Bible study again. You know what's beautiful? The Lord knoweth them that are His. You understand? He knows you. You're written in a book. You're placed on a foundation. Y'all believe in that once saved, always saved stuff. You're an idiot if you don't. Take heed. It's people who don't take heed that are corrupting the Word of God. I'm off Facebook. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. Been in enough battles. Did y'all know that I was a seed of Satan? And you laugh. And I get an amen. I've been preaching for 40 minutes here and I ain't got an amen yet till I'm the seed of Satan. I'm having a Rodney Dangerfield moment right now. No respect. No respect.
Tough crowd.
They obviously didn't pay to come in here, did they? Oh, that was directed at Steve, not me. You see, folks,
Paul is our apostle. It's been mentioned here a number of times, like since Friday night.
And there's a purpose why we are Pauline. Because if you're not Pauline, you don't see his doctrine. You don't see his foundation. You don't see the doctrine for the building, the blueprint to build upon this foundation. And in that case, you're going to wind up with a uh-oh moment. Don't have that moment. Go before the Lord where you can kneel down before the King of Kings. He will crown you, and within that crown, there'll be all types of gold, silver, and precious stones put in there because you took heed on how you built. Labor for the Lord, rightly divided. That's all I got. Thank you.